The reading this morning is from a book that has two names. It was published once under the title, Why I Am a Unitarian Universalist, and then reprinted some years later under the title, Being Liberal in an Illiberal Age. Both of these books were published several decades ago, and you can tell from the titles alone that they are still useful books. Both written by Unitarian Universalist minister Jack Mendelsohn, who died recently, who served two churches in Boston and a couple of churches in the Chicago area. So in addition to seeing decades worth of Unitarian Universalists, he saw Unitarian Universalists around the country. So he has some sense of what this tradition is all about in a larger scope than just one congregation in one town. So I recommend the book to you under either title, and I'm going to read you three small paragraphs from one chapter, and these paragraphs are enough for at least a day of reflection, so you'll find that reading the whole book will give you all kinds of things to think about what it means to be Unitarian Universalist and what it means to be Unitarian Universalist in the world as it is today. Religion is my inspiration to be a creative, cooperative human in spite of the fact that life may crush me at any moment and death blot me out. As a skeptic, I cannot comfort myself with supernatural promises. I know that human existence contains an irreducible element of tragedy and incompleteness. I know that I cannot really comprehend the totality of things. I am finite. For me, the fundamental question of life is not why, but how. How shall I live while I live? This is the core question. What do I believe about the compensations for tragedy? I do believe that almost every tragic occurrence has its compensation. A person deprived of sight may develop astonishing sensitivity of ear. So also are there mental compensations, bridges which we build toward sanity again and again, even when we feel that our nerve fibers have taken all they can take. In my religion, there is respect for my human condition, for the way in which I choose to enter into communion with others. There is recognition that the real religious decision is what I The real religious decision is what I decide to do together with others, and that the role of the church is not to bend my will, but to give strength and flexibility to my willing. The will is in the self. Out of the self comes the character of deeds which make for individuality. If you are lucky, you have known a few people in your life who have the capacity to bring their minds back to the present, back to what is most important. Our great religious leaders mostly have this capacity, whether they are Buddhist or Catholic or Unitarian Universalist. part of what we recognize as strength in them. Some of you may have known the Reverend Jack Mendelson, the Unitarian Universalist minister who died in October 2012 after decades of ministry and after 94 years of living. He was a writer and an activist, and as far as I can tell, he knew just about everybody. He shaped the Unitarian Universalism that we experience today, but mostly we're not aware of his imprint on our lives and on this tradition that we share and celebrate. It's how it goes so often. People who have powerful influences on how things go do it in such a quiet way that you don't notice that they've turned everything in a different way. After Mendelssohn's death, one minister wrote, "He is significantly responsible for making Unitarian Universalism what so many of us assume that it is, of course. But it wasn't always this. It wasn't always a public ministry. Ever committed to freedom, justice, human rights, and the spirit of democracy." This public ministry, which Unitarian Universalists have engaged in with great spirit for many decades now, has always been available in all tradition, but it hasn't always been so alive as it is now. Mendelssohn's public ministry, I think, was shaped by very personal events. All theology is autobiographical. Jack Mendelssohn's mother died when he was 8 years old. When she was taken to the hospital, he begged God to keep her alive. But she died. And then the young boy was sent to live with his grandparents, who were good to him. And they took him to the church down the street, the little conservative congregational church. And the folks in this Christian church were also good to him. And they kept talking about God and Jesus and salvation and heaven and urging him to accept Jesus and be saved. But this young boy was struggling with why God would allow his mother to die. And the church that he went to had no answer for him. And that is a tight spot. Some of you have been in that spot. It's not good when you're 8. It's not much better when you're 58. This is one of the moments when you can see that the things that happen to us shape how we understand everything. In that spot, he came to the conclusion that the God that was presented to him in his church didn't make sense to him. That the whole description of the universe, of how things worked, that was available didn't make sense to him. He said that he sought a spiritual life that offers not surrender and salvation, but love of life in spite of life. He says, "I have striven to accept the flaws and to find things to live for that transcend and conquer those flaws." He had unsatisfactory religious beginnings in a church, but the loss of his mother left him with, as he says, the habit of religious searching. So even though the religious answers that were offered to him were empty, he kept searching. And so when, as a young man, he found Unitarianism, it wasn't yet Unitarian Universalism when he found it, when he found Unitarianism, he had that sense of finally finding home a refuge, a story that made sense for the life that had happened to him. He realized that he had found a vast, unexplored territory that he could spend his life traveling in. And so he took that journey to its logical extreme and decided to go into the ministry. And people describe him as having gone into the ministry to make the world a better place. I think he wanted to create his own compensation for the loss of his mother and create the compensation for having been offered a story about the world that didn't make sense. And I think he learned from his Christian tradition that we can do things to make the world around us better, that we can lessen suffering. And so he wanted to do that too. He had that gift of having lived in one place and stepping into this tradition and finding its gifts. And so he wrote the book, Why I Am a Unitarian Universalist, to explain his journey and to explain what he found in this tradition that was so life-giving. And the other thing he did, in addition to writing his story, is to go out and act in the world. He marched with Martin Luther King in Selma. One of the members of Jack Mendelsohn's congregation was killed during those marches in Selma. A few years later, there was a Unitarian Universalist assembly in Boston, and there was a black caucus at that assembly that was asking for the denomination as a whole to recognize some things and make some changes in response to how challenging it is for African American people to become part of a very white middle class tradition. But the General Assembly wasn't responding, and so they walked out. And Jack Mendelsohn helped lead that walkout. He was the minister at the Arlington Street Church in Boston during that time, so he was in the good position of being able to offer hospitality. So they left the General Assembly and went to his church, and they sat up in the choir loft and they filled the sanctuary. People sat with their legs dangling over the edge of the choir loft, and they talked about what they wanted, about how the world needed to be shaped, what they wanted for Unitarian Universalism. And he held that conversation that needed to happen for the world to be a better place. He lived his spiritual principles and his ethical commitments out loud all the time. He walked around as if he expected that things could be better, and in his presence, they were. When he entered the Unitarian Universalist ministry, well, in fact, it was the Unitarian ministry in 1945, he found that the actual practice in the congregations was fairly staid, that people weren't ready to be marching in the streets. But he noticed that the tradition had given ministers the capacity to both think freely and preach freely. He saw that there was great potential for ministry and the religion to be world-changing, and he went after that potential. He was driven to make this world now, this life that we're living, the best that it could be. He wasn't opposed to an afterlife. He just thought this was where we can do our work and see our work. His life and his writings ask us to grapple with the title of his book, the original title, Why I Am a Unitarian Universalist. He chose this tradition, and he chose it first and foremost because it invited him to think freely and widely about all of the religious questions. And he decided that the most important question was how. How will we live our lives? From our everyday mundane life to the most profound choices that we make. And after that, he was a Unitarian Universalist because this tradition gave him the space for his solitude and also taught him that what we choose to do when we join our solitudes shapes everything in the world, which is why he was a social activist, why he worked around the world for both individual people and large parts of populations. He knew that all people could be affected. Rereading his book recently, I thought, well, what would I write if I was going to articulate why I am a Unitarian Universalist? The first answer I have to give is easy for me in a way that it wasn't for Mendelssohn, because I was raised Unitarian Universalist. I even have grandparents who were Unitarian Universalists. My mother's father, in his last years, had a dementia that eliminated most of his memories, but he did remember being on the Buildings and Grounds Committee of his Unitarian Universalist congregation, and retold a story about that over and over again. The story itself was not profound, but the fact that what he remembered of all the things that he had forgotten was his connection to that congregation, I think, is an important part of why I'm a Unitarian Universalist. And I come from people who are scientists and question askers. They're just made that way. And so we fit well with Unitarian Universalists. Because I was raised in this tradition, I sometimes take for granted what a gift it is to have this tradition where we have both the freedom and the responsibility to think our own thoughts about religious matters. So really the question for me is, why do I continue to be Unitarian Universalist? I think my fundamental reason is the same as Mendelssohn's, that I have been gripped with the habit of religious searching, which is to say that I would be grappling with the big questions no matter what I was doing, if I was driving a bus or baking bread or painting houses, I would still be thinking about the big questions. So being part of a religious community is just inherent to who I am. And this Unitarian Universalist tradition allows me a place to put together progressive social change with mystical religious experience. Those things are not contradictory. It allows me to experience multiple spiritual practices and wisdom traditions and bring them together in an ongoing conversation. Unitarian Universalism is susceptible to change and recreation in a way that few religions are. That is the definition of being a liberal tradition, open to change and reinterpretation. Liberal doesn't mean, in this case, what it so often does, which is, oh, we can be a little lax about how we think about boundaries and anything goes. Liberal means we are willing, indeed prepared, to change our mind about things if there are new understandings and new information. Liberal actually asks a rigor of us. that we are always engaging and thinking about what we're saying, what we're doing, and what we're thinking. And I think I continue to be a Unitarian Universalist because I share this ministry with you. I get to see your minds at work. I get to see your resilience and your work for a changing world. I get to work with you who are so deeply engaged in the question of how. How will we live? How will we be together now? How will we share Unitarian Universalism with our children? How will we blend our disparate needs and expectations? How do we stay engaged with a world that is so challenging and so full of hidden potential? And probably another piece of continuing to be Unitarian Universalist is this story. Several years ago, I got to meet Jack Mendelsohn. Although he was long retired from the ministry, I was in my office one day, and Paul Beswick, who was a member here for many years, and some of you knew him, and some of you didn't get to meet him before he died a few years ago. Well, Paul Beswick called me up and said, "Why don't you come over for dinner?" And I think I hesitated, and he said, "You know, Jack Mendelsohn's coming over. Would you like to come to dinner?" "Yes, I would." I was a little confused, actually, about how it came to be that Paul Beswick was having Jack Mendelsohn for dinner, but I didn't linger too long. I just said yes. Well, it turned out that Paul had been a member of Mendelsohn's congregation outside of Boston many years before, and they had kept in touch as Paul had married and started his business in New Hampshire, and as Mendelsohn had retired and settled into his own life. So when I arrived at Paul Beswick's rather large house, the two of them were talking about the good old days when Paul was a member of Mendelsohn's congregation in Boston. It was during those years that Paul met his wife at a group that met at the church. So Paul at least partially credited Mendelsohn with finding him a wonderful wife and helping him create a family. I'm not sure that Mendelsohn felt that any credit was due to him, but when people want to give you credit for good things, you just take it. So when I arrived, Mendelsohn started to ask me all sorts of questions about this congregation, about my ministry, about my life. I, of course, mostly remember feeling like none of my answers were good enough, given who was questioning me. He was unfazed by all of that he seemed to just be delighting in an evening of conversation. I was also struck the whole evening by a set of apparent contrasts. Paul Beswick had a sign in his driveway that said, "Republican parking only. All others will be towed." Meanwhile, he had invited not one but two Unitarian Universalist ministers to his house who would apparently be needing rides home after dinner because both of those cars would certainly be towed, which he knew. Of course, they weren't towed. But I felt a little awkward about it. Jack Mendelsohn clearly did not. First of all, he had known Paul for a long time. And I think he had figured out that Paul Beswick was an inventor, which he was. Paul Beswick had, I think, 14 patents. And an entrepreneur, he had started his own business with these inventions and earned a handsome living at it. And Paul was a very independent thinker. You have to be if you're going to invent things. He was also a wildly generous supporter of Unitarian Universalism. That's true at this congregation and in the association at large. So Jack Mendelsohn knew that Paul Beswick's mind was interesting and open to changes and reinterpretations. Neither Paul Beswick nor Jack Mendelsohn let any of the usual divisions get in the way of a human connection. One of the signs of spring in congregations in New England is the pledge drive begins. And this year, the pledge drive will be having visiting stewards, contacting as many members of our congregation as we can train visiting stewards to meet with. Visiting stewards will contact members of the congregation with some of the questions that come out of the habit of religious searching. So this pledge process this year will be really focused on telling each other the stories of these lives that we're living now. These lives, as Jack Mendelsohn said, in which we are called out into the great, open, windy world. In this pledge process, we will really be asking each other to tell our version of the story, why I am a Unitarian Universalist. So tell each other your stories. They're always in rough draft form, so don't worry about that. And of course, visiting stewards will talk about money also, because that is part of our story. It's part of how we live our ethics. It's part of how we live our commitments. And it is uncomfortable to talk about money, especially with people that you like. And it's part of this liberal tradition, too. It's open to reinterpretation, open to new understandings. And in this congregation where we are learning to talk about everything together, this is a chance to practice. There are all kinds of chances to practice. A chance to practice talking about something that we may not feel great talking about. But we have to talk about this too, if we're going to talk about everything, which is what makes it possible to be a liberal religious tradition together. Church isn't something that we just pay for. It's something that we commit ourselves to. It's where there is the recognition that the real religious decision is what I decide to do together with others. So the pledge drive is focusing on conversations this year to remind us that we are engaged in this project together. This project of being bold Unitarian Universalists in a world that needs people who are strong and flexible, able to meet the world as it is, at the same time that we imagine the world that can be. So a visiting steward will probably contact you and ask you to find a time to get together. And you may be tempted to say, oh, you're busy. You don't have to find time to talk to me. Or you may be tempted to say, well, we don't have to talk about that. I'll just fill out the card. I can just write the number in the card and just send it back. But I invite you to take the risk. Take the time. Tell the stories to each other. This is how we build our strength and our flexibility and our possibilities. Remember that we belong to each other and that we are all part of this larger work in a world that needs people who have come alive.